Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keeper's Prepper's Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation.
Well, hello everybody. This is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booger County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. And our guest on Prophecy Keepers this week is Melody Rendon. She's the sweetheart of Manny Two Feathers, the noted artist and elder. And how are you, Melody? Say hi to the folks.
Hello, everybody. I'm great. How are you, Bluewater?
Doing pretty well. If you can, speak as close to the phone as you can.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better. And my wife just asked me a question, and I'll edit that out, so don't worry about it. Hang on a second here. Let me get myself composed. Okay, well, Melody, I understand Manny's been in Guadalajara. And, you know, we, as I was saying before the interview, a lot of times when you've got a married couple and the, let's say the male might be more active or more public. But, you know, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, and I thought you could give folks a little bit of understanding of, I know how much my wife supports me and what we do here. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Manny and a little bit about you and the work you guys do together and you know, whatever is on your heart tonight.
Well, I really feel that destiny had a lot to do with bringing Annie and I together in the first place. We met 14 and a half. I feel that Manny and I met, and it was destiny because we met 14 and a half years ago at the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show in Arizona. And from the moment we met, I felt that I had met my other half. It felt like a pair of shoes that I put on and had worn many times before. It was very comfortable. And 6 months later, I had the privilege of taking the responsibility of looking after five of his children from his previous marriage. His wife was killed in a car accident. And here I was, 34 years old, and never been married with no children and an only child, and I was suddenly mother of five children with one on the way. And our lives kind of collided and joined together. I brought experiences in my life and he brought experiences in his life, and we helped facilitate each other's visions and dreams. I'd always wanted to be a mother, and he helped me realize that dream quite suddenly. I knew him a year, and I was mother of six children. And I helped him fulfill his visions and dreams. He had a vision in the Sundance in Wyoming before I ever met him. And his vision was to help people in all four directions. And in 1994, I established a publishing company called Wupila Publishing and helped Manny get his first book published, which was called My Road to the Sundance. And it was a story of his spiritual journey, but it was really a story that seems to have touched people from all walks of life, people from many different statuses, income levels, from blue-collar workers to Wall Street brokers to Nelson Mandela's office, Robert Redford's office, Russell Means, Dennis Banks. So many people's lives have been touched and changed by Manny's words in his own spiritual journey. It's hard to explain, but I had a background before I met Manny in entertainment publicity, as well as being a writer, published journalist. And I think combining those talents helped me facilitate Manny making his visions a reality. And we've made quite a team. We're a really great creative and dynamic team. And now our publishing business is 11 years old, and we've published three other books, and still going strong.
Well, I'd say so. His books are have made a big impact on a lot of people. And so tell us more, just wherever the Spirit leads you.
Well, I think in many ways, Manny and I share a lot of common insights, and through his books and his message in workshops and lectures and when he tours, it's kind of like it's given me the opportunity to have my voice be put out there along with his. We talk about a lot of things, and we share a lot of ideas, and sometimes I'll be reading a book and it'll impact me in an interesting way, and I'll share those thoughts with him. For instance, one book that's really had a big impact on me lately is the work of the Japanese scientist, The Hidden Messages of Water, Professor Scientist Dr. Emoto, who talks about how his study of freezing water crystals that have been introduced to kind words versus negative words, how it impacts the water and allows it to form crystals or not form crystals. And when you translate that thought from how our thoughts and our words affect water, and then you think of how much water we have in our bodies and how much water is on the planet, really our thoughts affect each other. And the whole planet Earth is made up of water, primarily of water. And I don't think it's a coincidence that there's as much water on the planet as there is in our bodies. You know, it sort of shows our connectedness to the Earth and to each other. And so when we send thoughts or prayers or positive or negative thoughts in any one person's direction, this book shows very clearly how those thoughts, positive or negative, can impact the water in our bodies or the water on the planet. And I was sharing this with Manny, and because he does ceremony with sweat lodges and pours water, and the water is very important in the sweat lodge because everyone's purified and breathes in this water and they're saying prayers in a sacred way. This message from Professor Emoto has been translated into the native ceremonies and how when we hold the sacredness of water and we say prayers in the sweat lodge, that can be carried on outside the sweat lodge with each other. And whole bodies of water, look at the way the water's reacting on the planet right now with the tsunami in Indonesia and with the hurricanes and flooding. You know, water is reacting to the turmoil on the planet. It in effect is answering what's going on internally with all of us. We're in turmoil right now internally, and it's translating into how the water is affecting us. This is my theory anyway, and from what I'm reading and what I'm sharing with Manny. And so when he goes out and he talks to other people, he passes on that message, and it's sort of a ripple effect, if you will. Pardon the metaphor. But a lot of ideas and thoughts we have and share together, that interaction gets taken out in a good way to other people. And I think that's important, that we share a common goal, and that when people come together in any way, whether it's husband and wife or friends or brothers and sisters or, you know, family members, or whichever way we come together, when we come together for a common positive reason, if we can share that and then send it out to others, I think that thought of goodwill and you know, thoughts of goodwill towards each other can be a ripple effect and actually help promote what we all seek is peace. And I don't think it's that elusive. And I don't think it's too late. I think there's hope always.
Oh, yeah.
I think so many people right now are searching spiritually for answers, and they think all the answers are outside themselves, and really it's right inside. And if we clean up what's inside ourselves, it can't help but affect what's going on outside ourselves.
Absolutely. I know we've heard a few times from Benny LeBeau, and he's spent time with Dr. Emoto, and he, in the last interview here, he was talking about how he's up in northern Minnesota, and they had a lot of problems up there, and they discovered that the water, everybody drinks water out of this one lake that's used as a reservoir, and someone apparently had been murdered and thrown in the lake, and they said when they took a picture, you know, using Emoto's technique, you could see the face of the person.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's just amazing. Amazing discovery.
Well, Benny LeBeau actually sundanced with Manny in Wyoming when he first sundanced, and he's mentioned in his book, actually. And They haven't seen each other in years, but Benny's been in contact with us through the internet, magic of the internet. And he was very supportive when Manny was ill not too long ago and sent some really wonderful prayers our way. He's a good man.
Yeah, he is.
Powerful message.
I understand Manny's been in Mexico.
Yes, he comes back on the 30th of October, and I'm sure, from what I hear, there'll be lots of adventures.
Just a couple of days.
He went down to see a Mayan healer who's been trying to get him down there for a number of years, and one of his sun dancers helped him go there, had some air miles, and helped him make the trip down there. And the Mayan healer, his name's Alejandro, said that if Manny did what he said to do for 2 weeks, took the right herbs and everything, his diabetes and high blood pressure would be, if not cured, certainly in better situation than it was before he left. And he left on the 13th of October, so I'm anxious to see how he is when he comes home. From what I understand, he's had to endure some pretty interesting experiences as far as being thrown out of the scheduling that we're used to. Manny's very, he's not a typical Indian time, if you will, excuse the term. He was in the military, so he's very punctual and very conscious of his time. You know, if he says he's going to be somewhere at a certain time, he gets most angry with me if I make him late. And he's very conscious of being on time. And from what I understand, they're so laid back and so, you know, whatever, whenever. So that's been an adjustment, and probably a good one, because I think we all get caught up in schedules, and, you know, sometimes we need to let our hair down, relax a little bit, and as they say, let go and let God, let it happen. So I'll be interested to see what comes of this, and if the experience is what many anticipating or hoping for, then there may be an opportunity down the road for others to go and experience time with this healer in this environment he has. They had a sweat lodge inside a cave where a lot of ceremonies are done, and it's close to the Pacific Ocean. And from what I understand, it was quite an amazing experience. Pretty rough, no electricity, no running water, no, pretty primitive, but interesting nonetheless. For people that were exposed to, like I said, a schedule-oriented world.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Is Don Alejandro, is he the Quiche Maya? Head of the National Council of Elders of Guatemala, I know of Don Alejandro.
No, that's another gentleman. This Alejandro is from Guadalajara, and he's a Huichol native.
Okay.
And he works mostly with herbs.
Oh,
he's more known for his herbs rather than, I know who you mean, Don Alejandro. A friend of ours was studying under him.
Yeah, Don Alejandro Cirilo Perez and Olaj, I guess it's Oslaj, O-X-L-A-J. But, so he's a Huichol elder.
Yes.
Interesting.
And quite a character from what I understand. A little eccentric and
interesting. I'm sure.
Manny said that... There was instances where he would say, well, we're going somewhere and we're leaving in a few minutes, and they all pile into the truck and wait for him, and 2 hours later he'd show up and they'd go somewhere else. They'd be driving along the road and he would suddenly decide that he was going to stop for an ice cream, and he'd just stop right there in the middle of the road without pulling over or anything, just stop the truck and go have an ice cream.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim superchargers your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, friends. This is Will Bluewater. I have a message here from 1975 from John Wayne. It comes right out of today's headlines. So you Indian folks who are following the progressive trend in politics, you're following the people that supported slavery. You're following the people that have enslaved you ever since the Civil War. Listen to John Wayne.
You know, it's a funny thing, the Indians now, this AIM group have started something that now they're against me for some reason, but I am the only man in pictures that always gave them their human dignity. I never was in a picture. I never allowed myself at any time to do anything that would take their human dignity away from them, and that to me is the most important thing in a man. I have found that a certain type that calls himself a liberal, and I always thought I was a liberal. I came up terribly surprised one time when I found that I was a right-wing conservative extremist. When I have listened to everybody's point of view that I ever met, and then decide how I should feel. I mean, but this so-called new liberal group, Jesus, they never listen to your point of view, and they make a decision as to what you think, and they're articulate enough and in control of enough of the press to force that image out for the average person. For some reason, maybe it's these pictures, they have not been able to do that with me. In spite of what they say, people have not taken sides that I'm it hasn't affected my career in popularity, let's say. In spite of the fact that they've tried to make it do it. There isn't a hell of a lot that we can do to change human behavior. We keep making laws to try and change human behavior. You can't do it. I think you can accept it and feel how you would feel in that position. You're being conned into Keynesianism and socialism now. But it isn't going to stop the selfishness of human behavior. It isn't going to stop the greed. If you take $20 and give $1 to every son of a bitch in a room, and come back a year later, one of the bastards will have most of the money. I mean, it's just human nature, and you're not gonna whip it with a lot of laws. I think when you make people conscious, as communication gets better, and you make people conscious of somebody in trouble, starving or something like that, the average person will help. But of course now they've got so damn many charities and there's so much professionalism, you know, if you have a charity, you hire some professionals to work up the charity, and by the time you get the money, you get $4 for the recipient and $400 for the administrators. So, I mean, I think there are people who try to affect a thinking where they know more than some other son of a bitch and try to put a false impression on what human nature is. Christ's sakes, we have proven that we go back to hope at the first opportunity. Just throw out a little fish and bam, they're out there ready to grab it. So we are optimists. We have to be optimistic. Christ, what else would there be in life if you lose optimism?
There was no rhyme or reason to their visit at all, you know. And so I'm sure it was culture shock for a lot of them, because there was several that went with Manny, and there was Dan from Canada, who comes down to our Sundance here in Pennsylvania. Then there was Martin Herrera from California, and there was two other Sundancers, one from Florida and one from around here. And they all went down, and two of them were there for the first week, and then Martin and Manny and Dan were there for the remainder of the time. So I guess I'll hear on Sunday evening how it all went. I'm most anxious to see. And from what I understand, the experience has changed Manny somewhat. I'm sure everybody's come out of the experience a little bit changed because of being taken out of your normal environment and thrust into another environment. I think that's changed anybody.
Well, I was getting ready to say, you know, we're up here in the U.S. We're in this environment, and it's not a normal environment. And you
right.
you fall asleep, you become unaware. So, you know, he's been awakened for the last couple of weeks. So he's going to be really different, because you know,
yeah.
I find myself, you know, the longer, you know, I do this, I become more cynical. And of course, I was warned years ago that would be my weakness, and that I needed to guard against cynicism and doubt. And, you know, it goes for everybody, but, you know, apparently, you know, so much the more for me. And, but it sounds like he's getting what he needs down there.
Yes, I think so. I think they all needed this experience.
So Before you met Manny, you weren't a mom, and then all of a sudden you're an instant mom, huh?
Yes, and what's really interesting about that is I was an only child, and I really had no experience whatsoever in even how brothers and sisters are with each other. And when the five from Oklahoma arrived, there was a girl who was six, twins that were 10, a 13-year-old girl, and a 14-year-old boy. And I was pregnant with my first child. And so my friend said to me that I was just learning how to manifest things. And a year before I had wanted, before I met Manny, I had wanted, you know, the whole enchilada. I was thinking I was going to be a spinster the rest of my life then. Because I didn't want to just marry anyone to be a Mrs. Somebody. And so I figured that that maybe wasn't my calling, much as I wanted children and marriage. And next thing you know, a year later, I'm mother of six kids.
Boom.
So it just goes to show you, for anybody out there who is single and thinks that your life can't turn on a dime, I'm a living testimony on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
a New York minute, like Manny and I like to say.
Oh, yeah.
After the Eagles song.
How old was his oldest at the time?
His oldest is now...
I mean, back then.
Pardon?
Back then, when you first got together.
Well, he had other children before these five. But his oldest back then was 14.
Okay. And
was living with me.
Was it a boy or a girl, the oldest?
Boy.
Yeah, so he didn't get as much help as, say, if it was a, if it had been a 14-year-old girl. So, yeah, you're really on your own, you know.
Well, the 13-year-old girl, I must say, was a big help to me.
Yeah.
Because she actually taught me how to play with kids, how to get down to their level, and how to cope with, you know, because she had been the mother figure to the kids for a while, being the oldest girl.
Is she the young lady that's been answering the phone when I called?
No, that's my first child. She's 13.
Oh, okay.
And
she sounds
very, little. Very mature for her age.
Oh, yeah. Well, give her my compliments. Tell her I thought she was about 20.
Well, she'd love that. She's her and my son, as I had another child, Stone, and he's now just turned 9. I don't know how these things happen, but these kids, I just don't know. They just, I can't figure out how it happens. Manny says I've had enough children, and I guess the Creator had other things in mind. But the two that I have with Manny are, they're the only two that are left at home now.
I'll be darned.
The youngest one, she just turned 20 in June, and they've all moved on and gone their own way. They have their own kids, and they're much doing really well.
And I've forgotten now, how long did you say you and Manny have been together?
We've been together 14 and a half years now.
And you met at a rock and mineral show, huh?
Yes, the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show.
Oh, yeah, that's a big show.
It really is. I went there in 1990, and I looked around, and I was down there as a buyer because I had a metaphysical crystal business. And I was looking around, and I said to my friend that I was there with, I said, next year I'm going to be here set up. And sure enough, I was. And being set up was the reason that sort of led me to meeting Manny. Because I was selling this item that I had just found. And you know what it's like when you find something new, you almost feel like you discovered it.
Uh-huh.
And it was this new item I saw on the market. I saw it for the first time in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's called a dream catcher. And the ones that I saw had a little quartz crystal in the center of the web. And I told the person that was making them that, you know, I could really sell a lot of these in Tucson. So I had her make me up a lot and took them with me to Tucson. And sure enough, it was a big seller. And everybody was saying, that they love the dream catchers. Of course, I have thousands of dollars of quartz crystals, and I couldn't give those away. The hottest item was these dream catchers. Well, some woman said, who knew Manny, pulled him aside and said, you've got to go and check out this white chick selling, trying to get it on the native thing. Of course, at the time, I had no idea that I was doing anything wrong. And she didn't realize what she was doing because she sent him over and he was all confrontational and wanting to know who I was. And I just looked at him like I had no idea I was doing anything wrong. And next thing you know, he was showing me how his dream catchers were and what they looked like. And I said, well, I could sell these by the truckload. How beautiful they are. And next thing you know, we haven't been apart since that day. So a couple of years later, when we had all the kids with us, we were back at the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, and we saw the same woman and said, now you see what you did?
Yeah, my first wife passed away about 10 years ago, but we lived in Tucson for 9 months back in, I guess it was about 83. And I was working for Heath Consultants. For the gas company down there doing gas survey work. And we went to one of those big swap meets, and on the way home, you know, pull out a swap meet, and I saw, you know, those little, it was just like a suitcase, just a zipper suitcase sitting on the side of the road, so I stopped and went back and got it. And there was 2 or 3 gems that apparently somebody had thrown it out. I don't know why. But one of them was a nice ruby, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I made about $100 that day, that ruby. So.
That was a find.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know what happened there. But
that's great.
Yeah, the ruby wasn't any bigger than your pinky thumbnail, but...
Doesn't matter.
Yeah?
That's like finding a $100 bill off the ground.
It was. There was a couple of moonstones in there, too. I have no idea what that was all about.
Wow. Well, maybe you were being guided to look into the world of crystals.
Yeah.
And gems.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of energy in those minerals. Manny's second book was called Stone People Medicine, which was not just about, you know, precious or semi-precious stones. It was about all stones, stone people. You know, native people, as you know, call the trees the standing people, and stones are the stone people, and... You know, they talk about the connectedness of everything. And Manny's book on stone people really was a simple book, but it explained why we're drawn to stones. What is our appeal? Why we feel compelled to pick a stone up, this stone up and not that one, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it was an interesting book about the stones in our lives and how they come and go, and we feel drawn to one, and then we feel compelled to pass it on to someone else, and how stones are used in technology, and how they're used spiritually. And the stones are really just a tool, just like anything else. They're not to be worshipped, but they can be used. Manny calls our stones our libraries because they've been around so long. They've absorbed so many things, and if we just learn to slow ourselves down enough to listen, just like listening to the pulse of the earth, listening to stone, we can get information from them.
I know my wife Betty and I, we married shortly after Joanne passed away, and she wanted us to get together, and so we did, and we moved down to southern Utah, down in that beautiful Red Rock country that Arches National Monument. We lived between Arches and Canyonlands, about 22
miles. Beautiful.
It was gorgeous. And we had a friend that had, I guess 15 years previous, he had started leasing a square mile from the state of Utah that had a big sandstone. It was some kind of a formation. It was about 400 feet tall at the tallest, and maybe 50 feet tall. It was about, oh, I don't know, half a mile long. It looked kind of like a turtle from an aerial view. It looked like a turtle making a left-hand turn. It was a fantastic place.
Mm.
And he had built, he knew how to mine, so he'd gone in with explosives and a front-end loader. He made a bed and breakfast out of it. So we rented one of these houses from him. It was about 60 foot deep, about 30 foot across the front, and had all windows across the front and a door. But in the, you know, we ran everything off batteries about 20 hours a day. About 4 hours a day they'd run a big generator. But at night, there wasn't any electrical fields running in the house. And in the morning, every morning we'd wake up and we'd hear this hum. And I could hear volume spikes. Betty would hear the same frequency, but I didn't understand until later that entire area of red sand is just full of quartz crystal. And there's,
wow.
You know, there's gold down there, too. Anytime you see red, you know, in fine crystal, if you see the color red, it's because there's gold present. So after 9 months, we moved about 10 miles away up to LaSalle Junction, and there was a mining company that had 300 acres there, and we were caretakers there for a couple of years. And we were just out gardening one day, and all of a sudden, you know, you'd only get a car passing about once every 4 or 5 minutes. And one night, we were just standing out there, and we could hear it. It was loud. And it was just absolutely amazing to hear this vibration. It was just a steady vibration. And we memorized the tone. And I guess one night, you know, a couple years later, we were watching something about Tibetans. And we heard the Tibetan priest chanting or intoning, and it was the exact same pitch, and their temple bells were also tuned to that pitch. Apparently, it's just the pitch of Mother Earth, but they say
it's supposed to be 8 gigahertz, I believe.
Yeah, I probably can't sing it to you now, but it was something like. I have perfect relative pitch. I don't have perfect pitch. But that's pretty close. Pretty close.
Wow. That's quite an experience.
Oh, yeah. We used to wake up to it, and I heard all kinds of interesting things. One morning, I was awake, laying on my left side, and my wife was up in the restroom, and I was talking with her. Had just woken up. And you know that first minute or two when you're awake, you're just still kind of half asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear the Jews, it's actually a kudu horn, but the Jews call a shofar.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear that blowing in my left ear was in the pillow, and I could hear that, you know, like, and then I could hear her in my right ear. I was just as awake as I am right now, or I thought I was. And it was
wow.
We heard.
You know, the quartz crystals amplify energy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, it's been proven they use it in so many things technologically.
Well, that Taos hum, you know, a lot of people hear it, and it may be completely natural.
Yes. And maybe you can hear it in places like you were better than you can in the city, because obviously so many power lines and that other hum rounds out, you know, the actual pulse of the earth.
Yeah.
And that's what we've gotten away from. Technologically, we've there's a really excellent book out by Jerry Mander called In the Absence of the Sacred, and where he basically says that becoming more technologically advanced, we've gotten away from listening to the earth. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier, and that's listening to the earth, listening to the water, and projecting. We become separate from connecting with the earth and the water.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It is so great to have our friend Marie Osmond back here on GMA, and she has some important information about making sure your family is prepared for natural disaster. She's the new national spokesperson for Wise Company, which makes dehydrated and freeze-dried emergency foods and food storage products. She's here to tell us about that. Marie, you've been given the opportunity to endorse probably 9 billion things over the course of your career.
True.
Why the Wise Company?
The reason I wanted to do it is because it's affordable. You can eat a meal for a dollar. It's less than school lunch. It's affordable, but really, look at what's been going on with Sandy and Katrina. I mean, what was it, $78 billion of damage done just here in New York and
right.
New Jersey.
So what is this?
What it is it's emergency meals. And, you know, it's not your grandmother's kind, not the beans and rice and the gross chicken-tasting
right.
garbage. This is lasagna and really good stuff. And I swear to you, why am I here talking about this? Because I know it's going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You put it under your bed. It's convenient. Stick it in your closet. If something happens, I have it in my car. All you do is you open it and you add water. You don't even have to add hot water.
Right.
And it's affordable. It's convenient. It tastes really good. Taste the peaches. They're fantastic.
This is a peach?
But they're different than every other company because it's like dehydrated. And freeze-dried, and they combine whatever. I swear it's fantastic. Just try it.
I'm trying it right now, Marie
Osmond.
Put it
under your bed, put it in your closet, give it for Christmas to people, and save lives.
Thank you very much. Will you tell Donnie that we said we hope his rear feels better?
Well, you know, it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell him.
No, Marie Osmond, great having you on.
It's
the Wise
so fun
Company.
To be here.
Great to be with you.
It's always fun to be here. This is a great place.
All right.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you'd like to find out more about Wise Foods, visit wisefoods.org.
And because we've become separate from it and we've disconnected from it, this is the retaliation, which I feel is a lot of the earth changes going on right now. I'm a big earth changes buff. I'm always, you know, I was interested in earth changes back since 1979 when a book was introduced to me called We Are the Earthquake Generation by Dr. Jeffrey Goodman. It's hard to get that book these days, but excuse me, it was very interesting. It was before Mount St. Helens blew and before a lot of things really started happening, and he based his book on combining scientific with the esoteric and Edgar Cayce's prophecies and Nostradamus and mixed in with scientific research, and it was very interesting when you see where the planet's at right now. Like recently, the elder Carlos Berrios was talking about how the Mayan elders are saying that all the elements are at play right now, and the one we haven't really heard from yet is fire element. But you know, the water was the tsunami, the air was the hurricanes, the earthquake was the earth, and, you know, the volcanoes are starting to wake up, and who's to say that, you know, this is the long prophesied earth changes we're right in the middle of right now.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. So it was called We Are the Earthquake.
We Are the Earthquake Generation.
And
you can find it in used bookstores, maybe on Amazon or one of those.
What was the name of the author?
Dr. Jeffrey Goodman. He actually has a map of how the Earth looked at one time when all the continents connected, how it looked back in 79, and how it's being prophesied to look in the future.
Hmm. Oh, he did this back in really?
Yes.
So are the maps anything like Gordon Scallion's and...
Lori Toy?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Lori Toy's map, the I Am America map,
You know, I had that, all those maps posted in my bedroom in Phoenix when we lived in Arizona at one time. And the I Am America maps were pretty radical. And the information that she received from, I guess, different sources just seemed a little too far out there at the time. And Gordon Michael Scallions just seemed doom and gloom, if you will. And I tend to lean more towards Mary Summer Rain's Phoenix Rising material, because there wasn't any date put on it, there wasn't any specifics, it just said to follow the signs. And I think if you were going to make an accurate prediction, because of free will and because of the fact that we all have the power to change things and make things happen or change them or alter the course of events just through the power of thought or power of our mind, from what I believe, I don't think there's really any particular event you could prophesize as to be exactly this is when it's going to happen and what time and what date. You know, I'm a little skeptical about people that prophesize certain dates and times. Now, Mary Summer Rain's book, Phoenix Rising, it's more to watch for the signs, which to me is the same thing. It's connecting with the earth, listening to the earth. What is the earth trying to tell us? What's the water trying to tell us? Pay attention to the elements and the signs in the sky and those types of messages. That, to me, is an indication of true prophecy, in my opinion.
And
I'm sure there's many who would disagree with me, but that's what I feel, and I think Manny and I share in that thought process.
Absolutely. And folks, if you're interested in purchasing that book, you can go to used.com and put We Are the Earthquake Generation in the book title box, and then put Goodman in the author. And I came up with 141 copies, and you can get a first edition from $5 to $20.
Wow.
They're there. Yeah, used.adall.com is amazing. It searches bookstores all over the world. They're all
hiding.
Yeah, they're all. It's listed as a super rare book.
Yeah, I found it at a used bookstore not too many years ago, and I held on to it pretty tightly because it really set my whole path in motion, because I was so fascinated with the contents of the book and, you know, the possibilities of what may happen. And since that time, it kind of set me on my journey.
Uh-huh. It comes with soft cover or hard cover. There's a hard cover here. They're a little bit more expensive, but a first edition near fine hard cover, $35. First edition.
Wow.
Not bad.
Well, I've only seen the paperback edition. And like I said, it was really the beginning for me.
Oh, hey, here's one. $9.95 from Alibris. 1978 first edition hardcover, good condition. It kind of varies.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're there, folks. Get them while they're hot. It sounds like an excellent book. I'm going to have to grab one if there's any left.
It is an excellent book, but a lot of the, like I said, the dates in the book, the predicted dates, this is back to 1979 when I read it, have passed. It's like Richard Moon's book, 5/5/2000. You know, anytime there's a date set on it, even the Y2K.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Scallion made it pretty clear that, you know, they all kind of depend on people's attitudes, and we hope attitudes are changing, you know. And but there has been some really interesting earth. You know, they had a fissure open up down in Mexico that was, I can't remember how many miles long it was, and there are things going on.
Well, I've even heard here in Lake Erie, which we're right on Lake Erie where we live, that there's fissures in Lake Erie. And when I moved here, we moved here in August of 98, and we had been living in California for a couple of months. Previous to that, we were living in a travel trailer. If you can imagine, I homeschooled my kids for a while, and we were living in a 24-foot travel trailer with six kids.
I knew somebody that did that with five. I'm married to her. They weren't my kids, but four.
Well, it was an experience. The shoes alone just boggles the mind.
Oh, yeah?
With all those girls. But anyway, we were in California in 96, 97, something like that. And there was a 5.3 earthquake, and our trailer was sitting right on top of the epicenter.
Up in the high desert for you?
Pretty much freaked me out. And I said to Manny, I do not want to live here. I want to get out of here as soon as possible. Well, we moved to Erie, Pennsylvania in August of 98. And I'm not lying to you. In September 15th, 98, we had been here a month. And we had a 5.3 earthquake right here. And it felt like your mind just doesn't even comprehend what's going on because it's such a non sequitur being here in Erie and there being an earthquake. It sounded like a truck drove through my house.
Sounds pretty eerie to me.
It shook things off the wall. And I learned something from that because it really doesn't matter where you live. Where you are is where you're supposed to be whenever there's an earth change. If you're not meant to be in the middle of an earth change, the creator or whoever the powers that be will take you away from that situation.
Right.
Even if it's temporarily. And if you're meant to be there, maybe you're meant to be there to help because you've got skills in surviving that situation.
Yep.
I could talk all night about this subject.
5.5 and there was stuff stuck off the wall. See, you can have a 5.5 that... You can have a 7 and that doesn't have a lot of horizontal motion, and that will, but that 5.5 sounds like it had a lot of horizontal motion. I lived in California for most of my elementary school and later college, so I like had a good shake up there in Pennsylvania.
Yes, it shook us up big time, and Manny wasn't here. Him and my oldest daughter were at a powwow over in Massachusetts. So they missed the whole ball of wax. But it taught me a lesson because I had always thought I wanted to move somewhere safe. And reading, you know, the maps of even Sun Bear's work on places to go and live that were safe. And Mary Summer Rain's other book, Daybreak. Where was a safe place to live? Where was a safe place to go? And, you know, I kept hearing New Mexico, so we tried to move to New Mexico, and nothing fell into place. And then when we tried to move here at Erie, when we found out the cost of housing was just unbelievable. It's really reasonably priced here.
Hmm.
It's like an undiscovered jewel, really.
Mm-hmm. That's unusual for the East.
Yes.
Well, it's an old steel mill town, isn't it?
Erie is paper town, and it's GE, a lot of GE employees here, but it's a small town. It's only 100,000 people for Erie proper, and, you know, you can get a 3- and 4-bedroom house for $30,000. And
I got a friend that grew up there and won the Olympic archery, the first Olympic gold medal in archery.
Really?
That was 72. Yeah, they named he lived down on Railroad Avenue, and they named street after him, John Williams Avenue.
My goodness.
Yeah, he was world champion in 71, Olympic champion in 72.
Wow.
Grew up there in town.
Well, it's a nice town. I like it. Coming from Toronto, it's a big difference for me, and it's a difference for Manny coming from Arizona. You can bet on that.
Mm.
He doesn't like the winters here.
So you're from Tirana, huh?
I'm from Tirana.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't going to say anything about your... You have a very slight Aruna Hoos accent.
Well, I've been down here now for a long time and lost a lot of my aboots.
Yeah.
And A's, but...
Rub it up again.
Still catches up with me every once in a while, especially when I'm visiting people from home.
Yeah, we when I was in up with people back in the early 70s, we spent a few days in Toronto. I still thought it was beautiful. And I stayed with an Orthodox Jewish family. And,
really?
Yeah, I remember the gefilte fish and the matzo balls. It was good.
Oh, yeah, that's a great town for...
It was good.
...for Jewish traditions. Well, I love Toronto. It's a gorgeous city, and it's very cosmopolitan. There's a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm.
I like Erie, too. Erie's got... we've got Presque Isle State Park right here. There's 11 beaches, and it's just this beautiful park, natural park with wetlands and nature. It's just a beautiful place, and it's just 10 minutes drive from our home. So it's really like an undiscovered jewel here.
Yeah, I
imagine. Anyway, I find that if we all just sort of start listening a little bit better to the earth and following that inner voice that we all have inside of us, that these coming changes that we've got will be in the right place at the right time.
You know, you're not too far. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're not too far from Buffalo, right?
Right. We're 90 miles west of Buffalo and 90 miles east of Cleveland and 2 hours north of Pittsburgh.
You're up in the extreme northwest corner of Pennsylvania.
Correct.
Like right there at the far western edge of New York. I know we've been working on trying to get some Iroquois elders on here, and some of them, I know one of them was a real close friend of two people that have been on the show, but she just... When I talk with her, she's a beloved woman for the Mohawk, I believe, and she just couldn't imagine teaching over the phone. She said she'd never done anything like that. I'd always taught in person, and she just didn't think she could do it, you know, and you got to respect that, you know. Sometimes I drove truck for a while, and I was up there a few years back, and stopped off Tonawanda for the night, and went through the Iroquois Museum up there, and I've talked with John Fadden, runs the Six Nations Museum in Oneonta, and his dad Ray, probably in his 90s if he's still alive, he's one of the two or three elders that literally brought the Six Nations back. Culturally back from just close to completely gone. He's a guy that, you know, bears and wolves and everything, you know, they just come right up to his backyard, you know, one of these guys, eagles, and absolutely.
Wow.
And I'd like to get Mike Bastien, as a close friend of Mad Bear Anderson, and this show is really in the spirit of Mad Bear, and I just heard from somebody that works with him, that lives in West Virginia, and he was going to put the bug in his ear, so we might get somebody from Six Nations on here sometime.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Do you, let's see, have you met any of the Six Nations folks up there? I know Orrin Lyons, I guess, he's a professor at, I guess, the University of New York up there in Buffalo, as I recall.
Well, we just spent some time at Six Nations, but it was in Ontario.
Oh, yeah, and they have the...
It was at the Ashwegan Reservation.
Yeah, most of the Six Nations people live up in Ontario.
Uh-huh. We had a wonderful time there. We were doing a show up there. There was a powwow, and... there was all these programs that the res put on for, of course they don't call it reservations in Canada, they're reserves, but they had all these programs to help kids get off drugs, to eat more healthy, for families to become more functional. And the Canadian government, of course, has a lot more corporate sponsorship and federal funds to help with these programs for AIDS awareness. And, oh, man, I was just in my glory seeing all these programs and wishing so hard that these programs could be brought back to the States.
Yeah, that's what I hear, is they're better off up in Canada than...
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
It's the little yellow pill that scientists say could eliminate chronic diseases and help you live well into your hundreds.
You might be able to increase the lifespan of a mammal by 50%. And, of course, if that was a human being, then that might be in the order of 130 to 150 years.
That claim might be hard to swallow, but tonight on ABC's Primetime Live, co-anchor John Quinones takes the promising antioxidant therapy called Protandim.
I have become a guinea pig for ABC News and Primetime. It's not a drug. It's a supplement. It's called Protandim, and it's a combination of five exotic plants that have been around for centuries.
Have you discovered the fountain of youth?
I wouldn't put it that way, but we may have discovered something that will tell us a lot more about how we age, what happens biochemically, and maybe how we can slow it down.
Quinones has been taking Protandim for 2 weeks now and tells Extra,
I am sleeping better. I feel a lot better and also energized when I do wake up.
Primetime puts Protandim to the test tonight.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet, all for $9.99, formerly priced at $29.99. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keeper's Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files, and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
You want to get an edge on turning back the clock with just a few pills? Who doesn't? Well, it's no longer science fiction, but science possibility, a potential breakthrough. As I found out firsthand, there may be a way to erase years, at least inside my body. Granted, it's down the road, but some scientists are wondering if a new pill I took might offer a very long life.
It may not look like the Fountain of Youth, but inside this nondescript building, I'm about to become part of an exciting experiment, a kind of guinea pig.
Dr. McCord, okay.
I'm here at the University of Colorado in Denver to meet Dr. Joe McCord, a world-renowned scientist.
This is pretty exciting stuff you're finding, huh?
It is. We're very excited about it.
His latest research could very well unravel the mystery of aging itself. And his decades of experiments may have the potential of adding years to people's lives and possibly prevent chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. It all centers around this small yellow pill, and for me, it begins with a blood test.
It wouldn't be the first time I've given blood for this company.
They want to check my levels of something called T-bars, which is a rough indicator of a person's actual age. T-bars can identify a condition known as oxidative stress, a kind of measure of the wear and tear on our bodies. Oxidative stress, like the rusting of an engine, is not a good thing.
Bad for the body.
Leading to disease.
Leading to disease and leading to malfunction and, importantly, leading to what we call aging. It is a slow progression of increasing oxidative stress. That's the main characteristic biochemically of the aging process.
The problem of aging begins with the very food we eat to give us energy. As our cells burn that food, they also release toxic chemicals. Those chemicals, you may know them as free radicals, react with all the components of our cells, literally bombarding them millions of times per second, damaging all our cells. The result? Oxidative stress. And we all have it. The body fights back with a system of defenses. It makes two antioxidant enzymes, catalase and SOD, whose job is to gobble up the free radicals before they can harm our cells.
So, doctor, how often do I take these?
And so, here I go. With that swallow, I've just become part of a potentially landmark scientific experiment.
Doesn't taste bad.
It's called Protandim, and tests on both mice and humans have already shown that it revs up the manufacture of those good enzymes in our bodies. More enzymes, fewer free radicals to harm us. Whether that will lead to longer life is still unknown. Experiments to see if mice live longer are about to get underway, but it's a tantalizing theory.
Right now, all we know is that this preparation decreases oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is not a disease, just like aging is not in itself a disease, but it's something that accompanies and is attached to many disease processes. So you can see the age-related...
Normally, oxidative stress, measured by those T-bars, increases with age. But in Dr. McCord's tests, taking just one pill of Protandim a day reversed that trend for everyone at every age, even for an 80-year-old.
They all... are reduced to the level of oxidative stress that one would expect, frankly, in a newborn or a very young child.
Back to the oxidative stress levels of a child? It sounds too good to be true. Will Protandim work on me?
The scientific evidence is there. The pieces seem to make sense. The question is, does this translate into something that humans can take advantage of?
And so, ancient Eastern healing and modern Western medicine may soon be working together. High oxidative stress is associated with more than aging. It's been linked to hundreds of illnesses.
It's at the very center of many diseases. Liver disease, diabetes, emphysema, asthma. I've studied all of these. Strokes, heart attacks.
Even mental disease.
Yes.
Depression?
Alzheimer's disease, depression.
Dr. James Crapo with the National Jewish Medical Center in Denver is also researching Protandim for the company.
Are you saying that this could be a cure-all?
You're looking at something that will have a small impact, but an important impact.
We make no claims about curing any disease or preventing any disease. We hope that when enough studies are done, perhaps such claims might be able to be made in the future.
Clinical studies to assess Protandim in both diabetes and heart disease should start in 3 to 4 months. But what about my progress? After nearly 2 weeks now, it's time to get my results. Dr. McCord calculates the numbers. The result? My level of oxidative stress has declined dramatically.
45%. That's excellent.
Just look at where I fall on the graph. Before and after.
Which, if extrapolated back, is the level you would see in a newborn baby.
Have we turned back the clock? Well, maybe not on the outside, but deep inside, within my cells, yes, indeed.
Would you suggest I keep taking this supplement?
I would. I can't guarantee it's going to extend your life. I can't guarantee it's going to eliminate any diseases or cure any diseases.
But we do know that oxidative stress is part of those disease processes. I don't want to wait until I'm 80 years old and find out that I should have taken it.
For more, go to our website at abcnews.com.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Major universities and government agencies initiated and continue self-funded studies following the ABC Primetime Investigative Report you just viewed that originally aired in 2005. These studies continue to reveal more scientific evidence about Protandim's unique benefits. They are published in major scientific and medical journals. The next video will bring you up to date.
Developed after 40 years of research and exclusively for LifeVantage, Protandim is a true scientific breakthrough in anti-aging. Protandim has been reported on ABC, NBC, and PBS, featured in the Wall Street Journal, and described in CNN Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Sanjay Gupta's book, Chasing Life, The Quest for Immortality. Protandim's creator, Dr. Joe McCord, is a world-renowned scientist and a pioneer in free radical biology. Dr. McCord is the discoverer of the key anti-aging enzyme, superoxide dismutase. His role in the discovery is so significant, the enzyme is measured in McCord units. For Dr. McCord's discovery of superoxide dismutase and his contributions in free radical biology, he was awarded the Elliott Cresson Medal. This medal is awarded to distinguished inventors and scientists, putting Dr. McCord in the same company as Pierre and Marie Curie, Alexander Graham Bell, Orville Wright, and Henry Ford. Dr. Joe McCord has devoted his life's work to the study of free radicals, their role in aging, and the many problems associated with aging. Consumers spend billions every year on antioxidants in the form of food and supplements, hoping to reduce these free radicals. But antioxidants from these sources can only eliminate one free radical for every one antioxidant molecule you consume. Protandim is scientifically proven to slow cellular damage caused by free radicals. Taking one Protandim one time per day for 30 days turns on these anti-aging enzymes in your body. Your own enzymes eliminate free radicals at a rate of 1 million to 1.
I think any other supplements that are designed to be antioxidant supplements probably are no longer needed, because Protandim solves that problem in a much more effective way.
Protandim is a breakthrough poised to revolutionize the anti-aging industry. It is an entirely new and scientifically validated way to fight aging, reducing your oxidative stress levels to that of a 20-year-old after just 30 days.
We found, as many other scientists had documented, that there is a progressive increase in T-bars in your blood the older you get. When these same people took Protandim for 30 days, the age-dependent increase in lipid peroxidation was completely eliminated. After Protandim, we could no longer distinguish the 80-year-old from the 20-year-old.
Protandim is protected by 3 U.S. patents. Universities around the world continue to initiate and fund their own studies of Protandim and to evaluate how this anti-aging breakthrough can prevent and improve many of the hundreds of problems associated with aging.
Many academic scientists at a number of universities have begun studying Protandim because it represents a new tool. It represents a way of reducing oxidative stress that wasn't available before. Simply was not a good way of doing what Protandim does. Protandim interacts with the DNA in your cells and causes the cells to make more of a set of genes called survival genes. The ingredients in Protandim were actually selected because they're largely metabolized by the liver, which does not interfere with most prescription drugs, which are generally metabolized by the kidneys. So the general answer to that is yes, it is safe. The immediate benefits of Protandim are, within several days, the biochemical markers of oxidative stress begin to decrease. And while these are immediate improvements, you may not sense that these things are happening, just as you can't sense what your cholesterol level is, if it's high or low. But nonetheless, these benefits start happening within days of taking Protandim. The advantages to taking Protandim in the long term are that it protects your body from the relentless progression of free radical damage as we age. The anti-aging aspect of Protandim is one that accumulates over time. So the longer you take it, the more protection you will sustain. Missing a dose of Protandim is not a big problem. It takes about 2 weeks for the effects to go away. So if you miss it for 2 weeks, you're pretty much back to where you started from.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now. Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Good afternoon. These are on, I presume. I'd like to talk to you today. And do I have control of these slides, or is I do? Okay. Let's get through these really quick, because this is just because you have to get CMEs. And I have to tell you that I am on the Speakers Bureau for GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, and also a nutritional consultant for an HIV nutritional company named Biosource Therapeutics, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What I'd like to talk to you about is something that I find thoroughly fascinating. It is glutathione. It is one of the four endogenous antioxidants, and it is one that I must admit, despite 80,000 published articles in the English literature, through medical school, internship, residency, fellowship, and a fairly long time in academic medicine, I knew nothing about. It is a very interesting molecule because it exists in an accelerated or increased energy state. The energy state is, or increased energy state, is caused by the fact that it's got a free sulfhydryl group and therefore can easily donate the hydrogen to a electron and therefore quench a free radical. Now, let me tell you, because I think it's important, and it is a little bit of a divergence, but I learned about glutathione because of something that you probably all have seen in your practice, and that is a low uric acid. Now, when I was in medical school and when I was a professor of oncology, the only thing I knew about uric acid is when you had a kid that you were going to treat for leukemia, you put him on allopurinol to keep the uric acid down. I knew nothing about uric acid being low, except it kept appearing, and it appeared in about 20% of my patients, and that just didn't make sense. So I finally went into PubMed, and after stumbling around for a long time, I found out that uric acid is the last antioxidant your body uses when it's run out of everything else. When it's run out of gas, okay, it uses uric acid. Interesting. So if that's the last, the question then, what was the first? And that is where I got into glutathione. I've been coming to some of these meetings for a while, and glutathione is very important for a number of things, not all of which I'm going to go into today. But in point of fact, it has a great deal to do with not only well-being, okay, but aging well, or if you will, retarding the aging process. So I think it's very applicable. I'd like to, at the risk of repeating things that you already know, go over some of the things that glutathione is important about. Alone in the antioxidant world, okay, every other antioxidant, when it becomes oxidized, becomes itself a free radical. Glutathione doesn't. It actually recycles other antioxidants. In fact, the body considers it so important that up to 6% of the entire ATP expenditure or energy expenditure of the body may be used to synthesize and optimize glutathione levels. That's pretty impressive, 6% of the entire energy output of the body. It is also the only non-enzyme antioxidant that doesn't become a free radical and in fact has a very interesting corollary when it becomes oxidized, because what happens is it complexes to another spent glutathione molecule, and the compound then becomes GSSG, and GSSG has been shown in animal studies at least to promote and induce delta wave sleep. We all know the importance of that in terms of the aging process, so this, even in its used up form, functions as a very useful product. It not only functions as an antioxidant itself, but alone again in the world of antioxidants, it is an absolutely essential component of antioxidant enzymes, namely glutathione peroxidase and, most importantly, the glutathione transferases. And I bring that up because glutathione transferase abnormalities have now been associated with virtually every cancer known to man, and probably with a lot more than that. And therefore, by promoting the production of glutathione transferases through improving glutathione, we may be doing even more than I'm able to talk about right now. In addition, if that were not enough, let's keep going. It's a chelator. In fact, it's 50% as effective as oral chelation in getting rid of mercury. It has an effect on other heavy metals, but they're not as pronounced as mercury, and mercury is pretty ubiquitous in an environment, so it kind of comes as a freebie. And it detoxifies organic pollutants, perhaps the best known one of which is the 2-carbon fragment that we know as alcohol. And in fact, without glutathione, you ultimately get a hangover because you stop the process at acetaldehyde, which is phase one detox, and that in itself is a free radical. And obviously, many of us may have felt the effects of that if we didn't have enough glutathione. Now, why is it important in aging? Well, these are old data, and I think they're probably not as robust as they should be, but I'll give you what is available now. Glutathione levels decrease with age. The data would suggest it's 1% a year beginning in the 20s. I think that's too little, too late, but that's only my opinion right now. I haven't proved it. There are some very interesting things, though. Age-matched normals, okay, reveal that anybody at, say, 45, who's had his first heart attack or has asthma or whatever other disease you want to use, has a lower glutathione level than somebody of that age who's well. So disease causes decrease in glutathione and an accelerated decrease compared to normals. Glutathione happens to be, and this is perhaps the take-home message, it's the major protector of mitochondrial DNA. Mitochondrial DNA is that DNA within the cells that's responsible, if you will, for the electron transport chain that produces every bit of energy in your body. And we know from pathologic data that if you take a biopsy from a 90-year-old and compare it to a biopsy in a 5-year-old, the mitochondrial DNA in the 90-year-old is only 5% normal compared to the 5-year-old. So obviously we destroy our mitochondrial DNA, we destroy our energy, and we age. Maintenance of normal mitochondrial DNA is directly correlated, and it's got an R value above 9.9, with aging. So the higher your glutathione, the less you age. And I think
it's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Thank you. Let the truth be known.